Hello and welcome back to Stammtisch, your weekly half hour of German political gossip. Sorry, I mean, of course, insightful, serious analysis. I'm Damian McGuinness, and this week we are in Bavaria. Well, actually, I'm not. I've been cruelly abandoned by both of my regular co-hosts, Michaela Kufner and Jeremy Cliff, who have run off to Munich together. I think it's a romantic assignation at the Munich Security Conference, personally. So today they are joining us down the line. So are you guys literally sitting there wearing Lederhosen or Dirndl? I mean, I'm not going to ask who's wearing what.
Well, we are right in the midst of the security conference, I can tell you that, in the Bayerischer Hof Hotel in central Munich. I won't comment on our choice of attire, but it's suffice to say that we're surrounded by lots of very chic-looking people with wires going up to their ears and bulges under their jackets. It's the security conference in full flow.
I actually own Lederhosen, but I'm not wearing them right now. In fact, not even the CSU members here are wearing Lederhosen. Go figure.
Anyway, you guys will be glad to know that despite the fact you've abandoned me, I'm not completely on my own here in Berlin. DW's political reporter Ben Knight has taken pity on me and joined us for his debut on the Politics podcast. And actually, Ben, you have your own politics podcast as well, don't you, in Germany?
Yeah, occasionally, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to have a bit of explaining about Germany over the next half an hour. But this week, of course, we're asking, is Germany in a political crisis? Or is it just the main political parties that are having problems? But before we go into all that, Michaela and Jeremy, I want you to tell me, for listeners who don't know much about the Munich Security Conference, why is it important? Is it important?
Well, it is important, but it's not important necessarily for the bit that everybody gets to see. We're actually sitting here in the corridor with many closed doors, and it's pretty much all about those closed door meetings, those behind the scenes meetings. It gives people who normally wouldn't talk to each other, like, for instance, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the foreign ministers of Saudi Arabia and Iran, who are all going to be in this building over this weekend, the opportunity to potentially talk to each other. Whether they then eventually do, we usually don't find out.
I should say for journalists, though, one does get glimpses of the encounters between these world leaders in the main hall where the official events take place. I remember coming to my first Munich Security Conference a couple of years ago. Prime Minister Medvedev of Russia was on stage with the then German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier, now the President of Germany. And Mr. Medvedev said in this very doom-laden speech, we're now sliding into a new Cold War. And Mr. Steinmeier jumped in and said, what I think he meant to say is that we need to avoid a new Cold War. And it was a fascinating little tableau of the German-Russian relationship and the Germans as often trying to explain and mediate between Russia and the rest of the West. So you get these little glimpses of the dynamics that I'm sure are more obviously on display behind those closed doors.
So usually, of course, when people come to Munich, they come to a country which they view as very stable and as sort of a heavyweight in international politics. But now everyone's arriving in Germany and thinking, oh, maybe it's not as stable as we thought here. Is that the impression you get from people there at Munich this year?
Not really. I mean, if you talk to actors here, also analysts, their sense very much is that Germany is a stable country. I mean, it is. It's been ticking over the past couple of months. We heard the current acting foreign minister, Sigmar Gabriel, joke on a matter on several occasions that if the voters find out, then really the politicians are in trouble. I think he's beginning to wish he'd never said that, actually, because it's taken so long and because his own role in the future is so much in jeopardy, both within his own party, but most prominently also, of course, on the political landscape. It's by no means sure he will be able to remain foreign minister, even if his party is in government. So the sense is that Germany will still aim for stability, pretty much whoever is in government. But the concern that I've certainly heard here is that if there is a crisis, which would still need to be named, and Angela Merkel is not at the helm, it would be a very different Germany reacting, and that causes concern, ranging from mild concern amongst analysts to all-out panic if you talk particularly to smaller countries in the European Union, the Baltics, just to name a few.
Yes, certainly compared to last year, I think the concern about Donald Trump and about what America would do in such a crisis is a little reduced. But there's still a sense that without America in its traditional leadership role, Germany, though it won't lead in the world, at the very least has an important convening role to play. Germany can bring people together. Angela Merkel is a figure who's respected and can knock heads together and maybe create consensus where there wouldn't otherwise be. And I think that's where people wonder about where Germany's going. And the question you hear is actually less, will there be a new government, so much as will Mrs. Merkel remain chancellor?
Yeah, no, exactly. But at least Germany has lost its reputation, or German politics have lost their reputation for being a rather dull state affair, because what we see now is that people are talking about German politics is quite exciting. And I saw one tweet the other day where someone said they'd given up watching box sets because the goings on in Berlin were so gripping. And before we discuss the latest palace intrigues, just so you don't have to get the latest Berlin box set, Ben has a reminder of the story so far.
Winter is coming for the House of Christdemokratia. Queen Merkelisi's grip on the Iron Throne is weakening, and her rowdy, sausage-loving, feather-hatted allies in the south of the kingdom are growing restless. Within her own house, the unscrupulous young schemer Jens of Spahn is plotting to take the throne by gathering an army of wild mercenaries from the land of Alternativa. Meanwhile, across the narrow sea, the House of Sozialdemokratia is dealing with its own insurrection of angry youths. The bastard prince, Kevin of Kunertia, is raising slave troops to topple the new Queen Knalesia, who is yet to be crowned. Queen Knalesia wants to strike an alliance with the all-powerful Queen Merkelisi, but Prince Kevin doesn't trust his new leader to stay true to the communal traditions of the House of Sozialdemokratia. His serfs have heard his calls for liberation, but what is he promising them? Will it be enough to free them from their shackles? And will they even have the stomach to overthrow the rulers of Sozialdemokratia? While both houses are dealing with revolt and rebellion at home, they are ignoring the threat from beyond the wall. The Wild Ones, the people of Alternativa, who worship only the mythical purity of ancient races and despise the brown-skinned and the dark-haired among their neighbors, who they believe to ride camels. They want all the great houses to fall. The Alternativa people want an end to the smaller, less ancient houses, who are seeing their opportunity to take power and are jostling for their own stake in the kingdom. Meanwhile, they hope the undead, citrus-skinned leader of the empire across the Great Water wants to undermine Germania's civilization. Is the struggle within and between these two great houses putting the entire kingdom of Germania in peril? Or is this simply a new age of renewal? Are we in a time when poets will say the old dynasties and powerful queens are making way for the next royal generation?
Right, of course, that was us just messing around a bit. But I'm going to dare to be a bit earnest now and ask, how serious is the political situation in Germany? Ben, what do you think? How serious are things here? When people talk about crisis and chaos in German politics...
The word crisis is like, it's an inflated word. Like every time we use the word crisis, and then we have to keep using another word that's even an even bigger crisis. But yeah, it's like it's a complicated situation, and there's a sense that there's a kind of a time of transition. We're heading for a time of transition because you know, even if Merkel does stay in power, which she probably will, she won't be staying in power that long. I mean, not more than 4 years at the most. And in the long term, there is a sense that, you know, she's coming towards the end of her reign, for want of a better word. And so I suppose there's like a sense that like people are worried about what's going to happen in the future.
So, Jeremy, Michaela, do you think that's true then? Transition rather than crisis? And should we be using this word crisis anyway?
There's no question that there's a lot of drama in German politics, but I think the essential question is this. Is Germany at a dead end, or is it at a crossroads? I think if it is a dead end, if it does not have options, I think we can use the word crisis with confidence. But I'm not convinced about that. A lot of these trends are longer-term issues, like the fragmentation of the German political system. There are more parties in the Bundestag. That's bound to make it harder to pull together a government. The SPD's been in trouble for a lot longer than just the last few weeks. Just, you know, ask anyone in the party, they'll tell you this is a long-term story. And this was always going to be the final, you know, the final chapter or the final few chapters of Mrs. Merkel's chancellorship. And so I think a lot of these are explained by where we are in the German political cycle and by broader structural trends. It's going to be a very interesting few weeks and months to come. Who knows, we may have to have new elections, there might be a minority government, Mrs. Merkel might even go. But I think there's a way forward for Germany that ends up with a viable government. And so I would be hesitant before using the word crisis.
Yeah, I just like to back that up, really. There is no crisis in Germany. Let's just remind ourselves that German Chancellor Merkel has been the Chancellor here for 12 years. There's a lot of journalists even who have not reported on any other Chancellor in Germany than Angela Merkel. And Germans don't really have such a great appetite for change and drama on the political scene. Now, we are experiencing a changing political landscape. The AfD has completely change the dynamics of any working parliament, and any kind of challenge that parties potentially going into fresh elections would face. At the same time, if you talk to the inner echelons of the inner circles of the CDU party, even there are few who really expect Merkel to serve another full term. There is a growing sense that this is transition, that Angela Merkel herself has recognized that this is the end of it, and that she has it in her own hands. She still does, to a large degree, unless, of course, the Social Democrats vote against this coalition, we have fresh elections. But if she becomes Chancellor again, she will have it in her own hands to decide when she exits and pretty much under which conditions. So that would give her a situation of strength. If in a couple of weeks' time, what I perceive to be the more likely outcome, we will have another grand coalition and German Chancellor Merkel remains Chancellor, we will all be looking back and saying that this was a storm not in a teacup, in a bowl. This was a storm in a medium-sized bowl.
In a cafe tassin.
No, it's at least a teapot. Come on.
Maybe a teapot or perhaps a Bierstein, seeing as we are in Munich. But I think, I mean, the question, I mean, if we are talking about crisis, I think the big question is, I completely agree with Michaela on what happens if there's a yes to grand coalition from the SPD members, who, by the way, start voting on this next week. We'll have a result by March the 4th. I think the interesting question is what happens if they vote no, which I think Absolutely. Is, I mean, the probability of which is, I would say, maybe 40-50%. I'm looking at Michaela
I think it's below 50 now, Jeremy. But it's still a real possibility. Let's put it that way.
So it's a real possibility. And I think the interesting question is then what happens then? You know, does Mrs. Merkel form a minority government? Does she think that her time is up? I suspect not. But that's definitely one of the things that's come up in conversation here at the conference. I spoke to someone earlier this morning who'd actually been going round different German politicians and asking them to put a probability on the chance that Mrs. Merkel would go in the next few months. And he said that he wasn't hearing anyone going much above 30%. I mean, I would probably go a bit lower than that. So I think a lot of this is bound up with the strengths and weaknesses of Mrs. Merkel. I think it is fair to say she's diminished as a political figure in Germany, but I wouldn't count her out just yet.
To what extent do you think that the view within Germany is very different to the view outside of Germany? So if you look at the reporting and how people are talking about this situation, if we're not going to call it chaos or crisis, but the political situation in Germany, to what extent do you think that's being hyped up in the international press compared to the German press?
Well, I think that particularly the Social Democrats basically becoming unhinged and embroiled in not just a power struggle, but in an all-out food fight in terms of who will be able to steer this party into what they all agree has to be a phase of renewal. That is creating a lot more, concern here that this could be their end than it does abroad. I think the view from the outside is that this falls into a broader perspective of Social Democrat parties in Europe, actually losing momentum, to say it, put it very mildly, or be near wiped out like we see in France. So it would be seen as more a part of a natural process, whereas here it's a complete shock to the system, and that's why you're seeing so much of a flutter in the media, but also in politics, because this is something genuinely new here.
I think that's right. I think part of the issue with some of the international coverage of this is that they've conflated the state of Germany and its government as a whole with that of the SPD. Fortunately for Germany, the two are separate things. You know, there was a cover on or a headline in the British paper The Express recently that said Martin Schulz resigns, leaving Germany in chaos. The chaos was of course written in capital letters. And I think yes, the SPD is undeniably in chaos at the moment. They're having a sort of public nervous breakdown, and of course that does influence German politics, because they need to be part of the next government. But I do, as I say, I think you do have to separate the overall question, which is how is Germany faring, how is German politics faring, from those contingent parts that I mentioned earlier, the state of Mrs. Merkel's leadership, the state of the SPD, and this broader question of political fragmentation. And I do think one can overstate the extent to which Germany is in total meltdown.
Well, it just isn't.
Indeed.
Ben, what do you think?
Well, I was just going to say, I think the SPD is the key to it in a way, because if I would in a way be disappointed if they chose to go into the Grand Coalition, because I think now we've found a time where the centre ground is no longer holdable, and we need a new calibration of what is left and what is right and how politics works out. I think the appetite for centrism has just disappeared in Germany, and I think that if the SPD chooses a new Grand Coalition, I think that will only sort of, it will only hasten the crisis in a way, because I think that that's what's happened in the UK. You know, I think that the UK we had for a long time, there was this sort of this Labour Party that was desperate to kind of stay in the centre and stay and keep everyone on board, and it didn't work. It was on the point of fracturing itself, and then Jeremy Corbyn came in, and he kind of recreated the Labour Party in a new way. And I think that I think the SPD kind of needs that, and we need there needs to be like a new left wing alliance, even though I know that they haven't got the stomach for that at the moment, and they don't want to do that. But I think there has to be at some point there will have to be like a left wing alliance of like certain members of the Green Party, certain members of the Left Linker, and certain members of the SPD. I think that's how. I just think that's how the future is going
to
be.
Isn't that what the next 4 years are for? The next Grand Coalition is when you see everyone getting back to the right or getting back to the left, their ideological homelands.
Yeah, I mean, they should be. But
to stay in your image, I think that there is a great appetite for something like that, but I don't really see large numbers of SPD members having the stomach for it. I think that right now we're at a stage where there's a lot of soul searching in the Social Democrats, and they really have to decide for themselves whether they push their party above the cliff, hoping that it will spread its wings on the way down. I dare say it's more likely that they will opt to try and push through what they actually got in that coalition agreement. I just also want to remind ourselves that they really got quite a lot of policy points. It's not going to get any better than that in any coalition, not even just with the Conservatives.
I mean, I just come back to this point about fragmentation. I'm not sure if it's true that the German centre is collapsing in some way. In fact, there was a study a few months ago by the Bertelsmann Stiftung which looked at how voters define themselves politically in different European countries, and actually Germany was the one where the largest proportion of voters define themselves either as centre-right or centre-left. I think it was about 81% of Germans identified in some way with the centre, compared with about 50% of French people. So I think centrist politics as a whole in Germany is quite strong. The difference is that whereas before everyone of that general political view gravitated to one of the two big so-called Volkspartei, and so either the CDU, CSU on the centre-right or the SPD on the centre-left, now it's more fragmented. So you have one of the interesting developments of the recent weeks has been the growth in support of the Green Party, which is now closing in, along with the AfD, is closing in on the SPD. I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe even overtook them if the current crisis in the SPD continues. Die Linke, the socialist party to the left of the SPD, has also seen gains in the polls in recent weeks and picked up a bit of support at the election. And so what you're seeing is a sort of fragmentation of the German left-wing vote. But I agree with Ben in that I think it is up to the SPD to see if they can somehow consolidate that. And that's where the figure of Andrea Nahles, the leader designate, who I should say still has to be elected at the party conference in April, that's where she comes in, because she comes from the left of the party. She's seen as a very capable machine politician, and a lot of people in the SPD say, well, if she can't pull the party together, then no one can.
So do you agree with Jeremy's point that it's more of a crisis in the parties rather than the crisis in German politics?
The problem with the word crisis is it makes it sound really dramatic, and we need to have some kind of drama. But obviously all these parties always have different factions arguing about different things, and if there's no functioning coalition, there are going to be more arguments about specific points and agendas and where we're going as a whole party, rather than when you're in the middle of a government and everything's quite calm and you can just move from one issue to another and say, this is what this party thinks, this is what that party thinks.
But do you think German voters are that bothered about this idea of political crisis, or do you think people are unnerved by what's going with this slow coalition building?
Yeah, I think they're a bit annoyed and probably a bit bored of it. They're probably impatient, And they want to see, well, where's all this leading? How is it going to help me? You know, are you going to cut taxes or not? Are you going to have better pensions or not?
Because everything is in limbo, effectively, isn't it? If you've only got a caretaker government, you can't spend all this money. There's these record tax intakes that are coming in. You can't cut taxes like they promised.
And there are things, there are real issues that really concern people. Like
infrastructure
lives.
Spending and speeding up internet and all that sort of stuff.
I think that one of the reasons why the SPD is doing so badly, especially in the last week, is because this sort of wrangling over who's going to be foreign minister is just really boring and annoying.
Because it looks like everyone's just after their own jobs then, doesn't it? That's the problem.
And it really discredits them as sort of people. Like, it's like,
well, the latest polls are showing that the SPD are only 1 or 2% above the Alternative for Germany, which is quite scary for, you know, the big centre-left party.
Yeah, that is really disastrous.
So, as is tradition, it's now time to place a bet. Last week, I asked everyone whether acting Foreign Minister Sigmar Gabriel would make it up with the SPD. Jeremy, I think you and I were both sort of right. They haven't made up yet. Although he is there at Munich, so who knows? He might be in the process of...
I think you're doing us a disservice, Damien. I think to say that Sigmar Gabriel and the SPD have not made up is chronic understatement.
Has he cancelled it after all?
Well, I mean, this has symptomised the breakdown of relations, because I think at one point he was going to be here, then he wasn't, then he was again. Now he's here, but his soon-to-be party leader, Mrs. Nahles, is telling him to basically stop gallivanting around doing his own thing. There's a big battle over whether or not he will stay foreign minister. Martin Schulz, of course, has renounced his claim to that job. So I think there is going to be a major battle to get him out of that job.
But this week's bet, you know, as you guys are there in Munich, I want you to give me the name of who's going to be the big hit at the Munich Security Conference this week.
I think it will have to be Sigmar Gabriel, because this could be his swan song.
Particularly as we sit here, the news has recently come out that Deniz Yüksel, a German journalist who was held captive in Turkey for a year under accusation of being a terrorist, has been finally released, which, to great joy, particularly in the German media community. And Mr. Gabriel is taking a little bit of the credit for that. And I think that might be...
But Merkel might take the credit as well. She just met the Prime Minister, so, you know,
And indeed,
who knows?
He's meeting Turkey's foreign minister here in Munich as well. So I think there might be a little bit of an attempt to take
Well, let's just stress that news didn't break while the Turkish Prime Minister was with Angela Merkel. It broke after the beginning of the Munich Security Conference, where we're expecting that speech from Sigmar Gabriel. Mm-hmm. But of course, it also raises the question, isn't that a way of Turkey saying, giving a nod to one of the two of them? I'm not sure whether that in the end is such a badge of honour.
I'll just jump in here, and in answer to your question, Damien, I am going to say Sebastian Kurz, the Austrian Chancellor, who is speaking tomorrow. I think, well, a lot of the focus of Munich Security Conferences, particularly this year, is this question of the East-West divide in Europe. And Sebastian Kurz, as Austria's new chancellor, as a former foreign minister of that country, has tried to style himself, I think, as a man to bridge the East-West divide, the divide between countries like Germany and the likes of Poland and Hungary. And I wouldn't be surprised if his speech tomorrow fired up the delegates a bit more than others.
I'm going to stick with Gabriel, and I just want to stress that 2 weeks ago I actually won the bet about the end of the coalition talks, but I wasn't there last week to claim whatever award was in it.
Damien, you owe Michaela an award, please.
I do. I owe her a massive beer. All right, then. When you're back in Berlin, beers are on me, Michaela. Ben, who's going to be the buzz? Who's going to create the buzz in Munich?
America. Who's Tillerson?
America. Mattis is there. Defense Secretary Mattis is there.
All right, good.
He's going to say something really bad about you know, North Korea or something.
So I promised you deep political insight. He's going to say something bad. Thank you, Ben. Good, I like it. Well, I bet it's actually going to be Theresa May, because I predict her talk will be the most talked about event in the UK media, and perversely the least attended event as well.
It will be the most talked about in the British media, even if she says absolutely nothing.
I think what we can safely assume. Anyway, to finish up, I want to ask each of you what you're looking forward to over the coming week, coalition related or not. Michaela, you've got lots of glamorous trips behind under your belt now, jetting around with the president.
I'm actually looking forward to actually what the outcome of the Munich Security Conference will be. Ukraine is one where Germany can really prove that it can make a difference. So we'll see what comes out of that.
I'm looking forward to seeing some of the Berlinale, the famous Berlin Film Festival, which is properly underway this week.
If you get tickets, can I come?
You'll be my first guest, I promise.
Ben, what are you looking forward to this week?
I'm looking forward to my holiday. But then when I'm going to come back,
And then I'll be looking forward to the SPD vote.
The big vote.
And I hope that their nervous breakdown continues, because I think they need a nervous breakdown, because we all need a bit of a nervous breakdown at some point to really, you know, refocus our priorities.
Complete freak out and then recalibrate.
Yeah, calm, and then you come back calmer and stronger. That's what I hope.
Interesting point of view. Okay, thank you, Ben. We look forward to the SPD freaking out. Well, that's it for this week's Stammtisch. We are finally on iTunes and other podcast providers. We're about as fast as German coalition building with all that business. But it finally happened, all thanks to you, Nina. So please do subscribe. And of course, leave us a glowing review if you like. Or drop us a line on Twitter. But for now, from Berlin and from Munich, that's goodbye from all of us. And join us next week.